Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson Fixer brings Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB, Inside MLB.
Good evening, Inside MLB fans. It is Jackie Robinson Day, 2016. We have an exciting day of baseball to get to. I'm sorry for the switch in time, but I'm going to the Pirate game tonight as they face off with the Brewers. So we're doing 4-5 instead of the usual 5:30 to 6:30. So, sorry, let's get right into last night's action. Some of it was during the day. We'll start off in Pittsburgh with the Tigers and the Pirates. As the Tigers is Nick Castellanos. He delivered the first and the final blows to the Bucks in Pittsburgh. So, Nick Castellanos, he got the Tigers started with a two-run double in the fourth inning. And after the Pirates pulled within a run, he drilled a two-run homer in the eighth to help Detroit close out the win. Jordan Zimmermann tossed six scoreless innings for the Tigers, while the Bucks' Gerrit Cole received a scare, but was okay after a line grazed off his head. So first thing I want to talk about is Nick Castellanos. And again, he got things started for sort of the whole game. In the fourth inning, top of the fourth, Gerrit Cole is perfect up until this point. And he gets the, you know, rally going. He gets an RBI with a two-run double. So that's that. He sort of got everything started. And then the Pirates, they pulled within a run. The rally actually happened with no out. Oh, two outs. It was 4-0 Tigers. The Pirates formed a little bit of a rally. I'll actually pull up the inning. Okay, so the inning started off. John Jaso doubled. McCutchen walked. Then David Freese hit into a 4-6-3 double play. Jaso moved over to third. Marte singled. Polanco singled, Harrison singled, Mercer singled, and then Stewart grounded into a 4-3 and Kinsler to Miguel Cabrera. So that's sort of how the Pirates made their comeback to make it to a 4-3 ball game. Castellanos comes out next inning, gets a home run, makes it 6-3. The Tigers score again, makes it to 7-3. Following inning, David Freese comes out, makes it 7-4, but the Pirates cannot come back to win it in the ninth. And one thing I want to talk about is Jordan Zimmermann's performance. Jordan Zimmermann, I think 5 years, $110 million he signed. It might be 7 years, actually. He signed the Tigers of the offseason. He was really the first pitcher to go off the market. I wasn't surprised by the move. I mean, I was a little bit because I don't think the Tigers are going to be that good this year. They've obviously proved everybody otherwise, as they are 6-2 to start the year. They have a veteran lineup, a nice pitching staff that goes underrated. Justin Verlander is still good. You have Anibal Sanchez, Jordan Zimmermann. You still have a good, solid pitching rotation and a nice line to go with it. Also, Shane Green, he pitched fantastic for the day. He could be another story for the Tigers and could possibly be their next go-to pitcher, so that's good news for the Tigers. In Jordan Zimmermann's case, he is 2-0 now in the season without an earned run so far, so two starts, no earned runs. And if you're a Tigers fan, you can't be any happier for Jordan Zimmermann because that's exactly what you want to be happening. You want your ace, your guy that you spent over $100 million since last season on to do well. And Jordan Zimmermann is off to a fantastic start for the Tigers. Gerrit Cole, pretty much the notable thing that happened is he had a liner come right back at him, and it just barely grazed off his head. It was a scary moment for all Pittsburgh because Gerrit Cole, he went 19-8 last season. He's really going to be their ace. Francisco Laureano, Gerrit Cole will be the 1-2 tandem. But behind that, it's not as strong. They do have Nice, they do have Locke, and they do have Nicasio. Vogelsong can also spot start, as we saw the other night. But it's really good news that Garrett Cole is okay in the farm system. They also have guys like Tyler Glasnow, Jameson Taillon, who can come up and fill in eventually during the season. Let's say Nicosi doesn't do well, Locke or Nice and Vogelsong, or somebody gets injured, Glasnow, Taillon, guys to watch out for. And this is just another scenario of where baseball happens at a really fast pace. People say that baseball is boring, nothing really happens. When guys are throwing the pitches 95-plus miles per hour to the hitters only 60 feet, 6 inches away, and then sometimes they can blast it back at you at 120 miles per hour, that's fast. Faster than a football player, for sure. So that's pretty much it just with the Pirates Tigers matchup. Detroit won 7-4. They improved to 6-2. The Tigers fall to 5-5. Let's move to our next game that happened yesterday between the Padres and the Phillies. And honestly, Velasquez, he's invincible. He struck out 16 in his shutout, a 9-inning shutout, within 16 and giving up just 3 hits. And the Phillies wins over the Padres. Ryan Howard, good news. He smacked a solo homer on the second and drove in another one with a sacrifice fly on the sixth. Padres star Drew Pomeroy struck out 8 over 6 innings. And immediately when I saw this news, guess what I thought? I thought to Ken Giles. And I was thinking, did the Astros make a mistake? Because Luke Regerson, he's the closer right now for the Astros. And it was originally thought to be Ken Giles because they obviously gave up a lot for him from the Phillies. One of them was Vincent Velasquez. And Velasquez goes to the Phillies, and he strikes out 16 in a 9-inning shutout, giving up just 3 hits. That's amazing. Another good news out of the Phillies organization, Ryan Howard. Two RBIs. I mean, if people on base when he hit his solo homer in the second, could have been more. And then he had a sacrifice fly in the sixth. So that's good news for the Phillies. They won 3-0 over the Padres. They improved to 5-5 of the year. The Padres fall to 3-7. And Phillies fans, you got to be excited about the start of the mound. I know you're in a rebuilding time period, but you're standing at 500 right now. That's pretty good for you at this point of the year. And Vincent Velasquez doing what he did last night is just fantastic. It's great news. And seeing Ryan Howard have a solid 2 RBI night last night that included a home run is good news. I want to also mention about the Padres star, Drew Pomeranz, because he had a pretty good start too. Drew Pomeranz, he struck out 8 over 6 innings. He only gave up 2 runs. The reliever gave up a run in the seventh. So if the Padres could have mustered any offense, which I don't think would have happened against Vince Velasquez because he was just pitching amazing, Drew Pomeranz did everything he could to possibly get a win. But Velasquez, 2-0 on the year with a 0 ERA, just like the guy we talked about in the Tigers, Jordan Zimmermann, except Velasquez is a young and upcoming possibly superstar pitcher. And just exciting to see such an amazing trade, really. The Phillies really cashed in. Ken Giles at a point in his career when they saw we can trade for a boatload of prospects. And when they get a young phenom like this and Velasquez, who could possibly be the face of the franchise in upcoming years, you go for it. The Phillies went for it. And it's turning out to be good so far, even though it is early in the season. Again, Phillies move to 5-5. Padres drop to 3-7. So to our next game, the White Sox versus the Twins. The White Sox keep the Twins' woes going. Twins are winless on the year of the 9. And the White Sox are 7-2. And guess who was magnificent in this game? Yep, you guessed it. Matt Latos and the White Sox swept the Twins. And Matt Latos, he went 6 darn innings to pick up his second win in as many games as the White Sox beat the Twins. Obviously, Ayo Garcia hit a solo homer while Jose Abreu and Tyler Saladino had RBIs. Brady Irvin Santana recorded a quality start over 7 frames. but Trevor Plouffe's RBI groundout was his only run support. I mean, what can I say? Matt Latos had a fantastic start. He already has 2 wins, and this could be the steal of the offseason. When I think about Matt Latos, I think of him on the Reds. And Johnny Quinn and Matt Latos, they were so dominant when they were on the Reds together. It was really fun to watch. But now Matt Latos, he's sort of struggling everywhere he's went. But I think he's found a home in Chicago. I think him and the White Sox, I mean, they're off to a fast start, 7-2. And the White Sox, they could be a good team. They could be a good team. There's no doubt about that. With the White Sox being 7-2 right now, and Matt Latos pitching as well as he is 2-0 with a 0 ERA, which is good news. And then you see guys like Garcia, he had a home run. And obviously, El Garcia, he's been compared to Miguel Cabrera of the Tigers. And usually when you're at this age, you don't get comparisons like that. And the offense, it's pretty nice. You get guys like Jose Abreu and Garcia, Talos Aladina, the slick fielder. Him and Abreu had some RBIs, and obviously Garcia had an RBI when he hit his solo home run for the Twins. So I don't think this is necessarily bad news, this game necessarily. Obviously, this series coming up, they do not want to get swept again. They move to 0-12, but that's that. Urban Santana, though, Twins fans, you got to be happy about him. He had a quality start, and that's just all you're looking for. And if your team can't win with a quality start like he had, then so be it. Because all you're asking for is a pitcher as a quality start. You're not asking for guys to do what Matt Latos did. Go 6 innings, 1 run. But Santana did what he had to do to get the win. He didn't get it, though. The run support was not there. Trevor Plouffe's RBI groundout was his only run support. Latos limited everything. And when I see an RBI come out on a groundout, I know the pitcher's pitching well, because most RBIs happen on hits. Plouffe's didn't. And so I consider that goodness for the White Sox. Good job, Latos. Twins, though, not a down game. I know you'd like to move to 1-8. Obviously, that didn't happen. But kudos to Urban Santana on a quality start. The White Sox move to 7-2, and the Twins still winless, fall to 0-9. Let's move to our next game between the Indians and the Rays. Cleveland won in a shutout 6-0 as Salazar blazes past the Rays for the series win. Danny Salazar, he struck out 9 and 6 impressive innings, allowing just 3 hits to improve to 2-0 on the season. Marlon Byrd, Rashay Davis, and Jose Ramirez all homered for the Indians. Chris Archer, who has not won a start since August 31st, who allowed 3 runs, 2 earned, and 5 1/3 innings to fall to 0-3. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will be analyzing the Indians and the Rays between Danny Salazar and Chris Archer and how Archer got roughed up again. What is wrong with him? What is wrong with Chris Archer? We'll be analyzing that next. We'll be right back. we've been recapping yesterday's games and everything that happened in Major League Baseball, but now we are going to be talking about the Indians and the Rays, and more specifically, what is wrong with Chris Archer right now, as he has not won a game since August 31st. He allowed 3 runs, 2 earned, and 5 1/3 innings to fall to 0-3. Now, that's not a bad start, but it's obviously not a good one. One thing that I do want to mention, though, is Danny Salazar. He struck out 9 in 6 impressive innings on just 3 hits to improve to 2-0 on this still young season. He is 2-0. He has a .79 ERA. Not like the guys, Vincent Velasquez, Jordan Zimmerman. I believe Matt Latos is also 2-0 with a 2-0 with a .75. So all the pitchers we've been talking about, all the pitchers that have been getting wins, Jordan Zimmerman, Matt Latos, Danny Salazar, they're getting off to hot starts. That's sort of the theme of this early April for me. From April 3rd to now Jackie Robinson Day, it's really been the team that's getting off to a hot start has won. The team that hasn't has lost. Teams like the Twins and the Braves just haven't been doing well. And then teams that get the pitching individually, if you're going to have to want to start, you'll usually win. For the team, it's looking to be the same too. And striking out 9 and 6 innings, that's a lot. The Rays offense, I liked when they went out and they got Corey Dickerson. They traded Jake Mickey to get Corey Dickerson. I thought it was a good trade, both for the Rockies and for the Rays. The Rockies got a much-needed reliever because, obviously, relievers are heavily used in Colorado since the pitchers won't be going as deep because, you know, the thin air out there. I also thought it was a good trade for the Rays because they got much-needed power offense in the form of Corey Dickerson. And their lineup is not bad. They have Dickerson, they have Souza, Longoria, Desmond Jennings. It's not as bad as people think. Logan Forsyth, if he can do well, the Rays will do well, but they are not doing well right now. 3-6, just looking to improve. Other news out of the Rays, a lot of home runs. Rajay Davis hit his first, Jose Ramirez hit his first, and Marlon Byrd hit his first. We'll talk about Marlon Byrd first. Feels like Marlon Byrd is just bouncing around the big leagues. Every single possible team. I mean, I remember him most when he was on the Pirates 2013, closed out the season with us, also played in the playoffs. And it was just fun to have Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd is a fun guy. And I think he will do well with the Indians with Michael Brantley rehabbing. He'll be back. Marlon Byrd is a nice place for us. Ever since like guys like Abraham Almonte suspended, now you get Marlon Byrd in. I think it was a nice pickup. He played for the Giants last August. It was in a waiver trade, I believe, between the Reds and the Giants. Got that done. And now Marlon Byrd is on another team. Can you believe it? Wow. We move to Rajay Davis, who I really like. I think he's an underrated guy, to be honest with you. Rajay Davis, his whole career, I like to think of him as he's been underrated. You know what I mean? Interesting enough, he started his career in 2006 with the Pirates. Played them until 2007. He started the year with the Giants, was traded, then came back to the Giants in 2008. Oakland in 2008 was traded, then came back to Oakland until 2010, left for Toronto. Went to Detroit, and now it's up to Cleveland. I honestly remember him when he was with the Detroit and Toronto. He was good with them. Underrated, a fourth outfielder in Toronto. I don't know if it was Detroit versus Toronto, but he was playing in that game. He climbed up the wall in Toronto, and he made a magnificent catch. That's what I remember from Rajay Davis. He also did get some starts in Detroit. I think he'll be another guy, along with Marlon Byrd, Michael Brantley. That outfield is not as bad. Once Michael Brantley comes back, they'll be able to survive the loss of Abraham Almonte. Another guy, Jose Ramirez. I don't really know much about this kid. I know he's 23 years old. He's a shortstop. He's only had 9 career home runs, a .243 batting average. He's been big since 2013, but he hasn't really been that good. You know what I mean? just has failed to live up to the expectations, I want to say, but he's still young, 23 years old. Jose Ramirez, the shortstop. I'm glad that he hit a home run because, you know, I love the dinner. It's an exciting part of the game of baseball. And now we move to the Rays side of the fence, and Chris Archer needs a win. He's a young guy. A young guy that is searching for a win. I mean, it's hard to go this long without getting a win. He is 27 years old, and he is not going to win since September. Think about how many months that is. Think about it. That's 8 months since Chris Archer's last win on the mound, and his confidence got to be shot right now. He has a 5.87 ERA, 0-3. This really wasn't that bad of a start, I have to admit. He only allowed 3 runs, 2 earned, but they did not keep him out there for that long. Not surprised. I just think that the Rays offense needs to come together, and they need to get some offense. I mean, Corey Dickerson could trade, but if it's not helping the offense and you can't score against the Indians and Danny Salazar, then what's the point of the trade? You're playing guys like Chris Archer, who should be winning when they only allow 3 runs and only 2 he should have allowed. They got to get some wins for the young Chris Archer. Move to our next game from yesterday between the Brewers and the Cardinals. The Cardinals won 7-0, and Garcia and the Cards, they really just dominated, flat out dominated the Brewers in this magnificent performance as Jamie Garcia struck out 13 in a one-hitter for his fourth career shutout in his first since 2011. Randall Grichuk and Jeremy Hazelbaker homered for the Cardinals. Domingo Santana broke up Garcia's no-hit bid with a 2-up single in the sixth. Willie Peralta allowed 5 runs over 5 innings for Milwaukee. Just think, I think of Jaime Garcia, I think of, he's always injured. But the fact that he struck out 13 in 9 innings, that's impressive. And that's exactly what the Cardinals need ever since they lost John Lackey to the Cubs, and Lance Lynn will not be with them this season as he is recovering from Tommy John surgery. So, good news. Jaime Garcia, if he can pitch like this, the Cardinals will always win. I mean, you're not going to win if you're only getting one hit. And the Cardinals pitching staff and Jaime Garcia did it again. The Cardinals did it again. They just always seem to do it. Always. The pitching always seems to be there. The offense always seems to be there. And it's just nice for him. And guess what? This is his fourth career shutout, but his first since 2011. You know what that tells me? It just proves that he's always injured. Always injured. And you can't be doing that in the big leagues. You can't always be injured because if you're always injured, you're not going to be helping out your team. And Jaime Garcia obviously would love to help out his team even more. Randall Grichuk, he homered. And really, guys like Randall Grichuk, he has a lot of stress on him this year because he is expecting to perform. Good story there for the Cardinals. Jeremy Hazelbaker, homered again. He's just been dominating the league ever since he came up on opening day. Got his first hit against the Pirates in the opening series, and it's just been doing well ever since then. Are we going to do a speed round? Since I do want to get into previewing the best series for this weekend, we have 4 that I want to get into. All right, so let's move to the Giants and the Rockies. As the Rockies win 11-6, and you know what? The Rocks are sitting fine after the line of 9. They're 5-4. So the Giants are 6-4. But Jorge De La Rosa, he struck out 7 and chipped into the plate with a 2-run single and a decisive 9-run fifth that chased Giants star Matt Cain in the rubber game. Mark Reynolds had 2 doubles in the fifth, one that cleared the bases, while Gerardo Parra hit his first homer. Brandon Belt went deep for San Francisco. Move to the next game. Braves versus the Nationals. Washington Nationals continue the Braves' woes. The Braves moves to 0-9. Not the worst team in the league, actually tied for that honor with the Minnesota Twins. and Harper's 100th home run slams the Braves into the Nationals sweep. Bryce Harper, he achieved a milestone in memorable fashion, smashing a majestic slam, his first for his 100th homer, backing an impressive start by Steven Strasburg as the Nationals swept a four-game series from the winless Braves. Wilson Ramos also went deep for Washington, while Nick Markakis notched both RBIs for Atlanta. So move to our next game, the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. Toronto won 4-2. MV Power. Donaldson's home run helps to top the Yankees. Reigning AL MVP award winner Josh Donaldson launched a three-run homer to deep center in the fifth inning, giving the Blue Jays the lead for good in support of a strong Marcus Stroman, as Toronto earned the series win over New York. Troy Tulowitzki also went deep to saddle Yankees ready Nathan Eovaldi with a loss. Next game, Orioles versus Rangers. Rangers win 6-3. Rockin' Rookie Odor delivers once again. Trailing by two runs and seeing ace Cole Hamels depart in the sixth, the Rangers put together a five-run rally in the bottom half of the frame to hand the Orioles their second consecutive loss. After Mitch Moreland and Ian Desmond drove in a run to tie things up, Rugnan and Odor chased Baltimore starter Chris Tillman by drawing a two-run double into the left field corner. Next game, Reds versus the Cubs. Cubs win 8-1 as the Cubs sweep up to the top of the wins leaderboard. A five-game winning streak has the Cubs the first in the majors to eight victories. Chris Bryant got to Red star Rizal Iglesias for a solo homer to open the scoring before Jason Hamill, not content to let rotation mates Jake Arrieta and John Lackey have all the fun of the plate, added an RBI double. With Hamill in the bullpen in lockdown mode, Chicago's 5-run eighth was just icing on the cake. We'll move to our next game, Royals versus the Astros. The Royals win 6-2. And you know what? These Royals, they have a sixth sense. Ian Kennedy took a no-hitter into the sixth inning before Carlos Gomez singled, and the Royals scored five runs in the sixth. And for good measure, shortstop Alcides Escobar turned one of the plays of the season in the sixth, making an acrobatic catch and firing a first for a double play. Our final game of the night was between the D-backs and the Dodgers. The Dodgers won 5-2 as the Dodgers roll in the lucky seventh to down the D-backs. The Dodgers' bats were quiet until the seventh, when Justin Turner kicked off the score with a pinch-hit RBI single. Enrique Hernandez fought with a double to give LA the lead. Then Yasiel Puig and Adrian Gonzalez ripped RBI singles to cap the five-run inning. Dodgers rookie star Ross Stripling gave up two runs in six solid frames, and Robbie Ray gave up two runs in six and a third. All right, we have taken a break on the will be when we come back. We're going to be previewing the best weekend series, and one of them is going on right now. That's next. Now, we've been recapping Thursday's action in baseball, but now it's time to look ahead. Well, actually, look to right now. The Rockies and Cubs, I think, is going to be one of the best series of the weekends. The Rockies right now, they're 5-4, and the Cubs are 8-1. And that brings us to our first look at the standings of the day. We'll go to the National League Central first and start with the Cubs. They are 8-1. They're 8-1 in their last 10 games on a five-game win streak. Right behind them, though, are the Reds and the Cardinals. The Reds are 5-4, three games back of the Cubs. They're 5-4 in their last 10 games and are on a three-game losing streak. The Cardinals, still only three games back, 5-4 as well. 5-4 in their last 10 games. They're on a one-game winning streak. Move to the National League East. The Washington Nationals, they are top of the division at 7-1. They're 7-1 in their last 10 games on a 5-game winning streak. Right behind them, though, are the Philadelphia Phillies. 3 games back, 5-5 in their last 10 games on a 3-game winning streak. Move to the National League West. The Dodgers and the Giants are tied atop the division, but that will be settled tonight when Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner battle it out at 10:10 p.m. Eastern. Right now, the Dodgers, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games on a 2-game winning streak. Giants, also 6-4 in their last 10 games on a 2-game losing streak. Move to the American League East. The Baltimore Orioles are on top, 7-2. 7-2 in their last 10 games on a 2-game losing streak. Right behind them are the Blue Jays and the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Blue Jays are 5-5, 2.5 games back on a 5-5 in their last 10 games on a 2-game winning streak. The Red Sox, they are 4-4, 2.5 games back, 4-4 in their last 10 games on a 1-game winning streak. The Yankees, they are 4-4, 2.5 games back, 4-4 in their last 10 games and on a 2-game losing streak. To the American League Central, another tie between the White Sox and the Royals, both in the number 7-2. Both are 7-2 in the last 10 games. The White Sox, winners of 4 in a row, and the Royals, winners of 3 in a row. The Tigers are right behind them, only half a game back. They are 6-2, 6-2 in the last 10 games, and on a 3-game winning streak. Go on to the AL West, and we have another tie between the Angels and the Rangers. The Angels are 5-4, 5-4 in their last 10 games, and winners of 4 straight. The Rangers are 6-5. 5-5 in the last 10 games, and winners of 1 straight. The Oakland Athletics are right behind them, only 1.5 games back. They are 4-6 on the year, 4-6 in the last 10 games, and on a 3-game losing streak. We move to the wild cards of both divisions. In the National League, the Dodgers and the Giants, they have a half a game lead over the Reds, the Rockies, and the Cardinals. The Rockies right now, they are 5-4, 5-4 in the last 10 games, and winners of 2 straight. But right behind the Rockies, Reds, and Cardinals are the Phillies and the Pirates. The Phillies are 5-5. The Pirates are 5-5, only half game back, 5-5 in the last 10 games, but losers of 3 straight. We move to the American League wild card. You have the White Sox and the Royals are half a game up at the Tigers for the first wild card, and right behind the Tigers trying to catch them are the Cleveland Indians, the Los Angeles Angels, and the Texas Rangers, all fighting to be in the playoff spot. But that's enough standings look at today. Now we will preview look at the Rockies and Cubs right now. As the Rockies are up 4-1. And the Rockies, they do have a man on third with nobody out. And Adam Adames is up to bat with Clayton Richard pitching the Cubs. Again, Rockies up 4-1. I think this is going to be one of the best series of the weekend. Tomorrow, going for the Rockies, Bergman 0-1 with a 12.00 ERA versus Jake Arrieta, 2-0 with a 1.93 ERA. Now you might be thinking, Benson, why in the world would you pick Chris Bergman versus Jake Arrieta as one of your matchups of the weekend? Well, even though they are not at Coors Field, I think that Bergman will do well because they're not at Coors Field. Maybe he can get to Arrieta. Maybe the Rockies offense, who has a pretty good offense, will get to Arrieta. So that's what I'm thinking right now. Personally, for the Rockies. Then we move to Sunday's matchup. You have Tyler Chatwood. He is 1-1 with a 4.3 ERA, going up against John Lester, who is 1-0 with a 2.77 ERA. If you look at it, the Cubs, they obviously look like they have the upper hand. But right now, the Rockies are winning 4-1. And I realize that Arrieta and Lester could easily beat Bergman and Chatwood. I would like to see sort of a Cinderella story, in a way. And see Bergman beat Arrieta, and Chatwood beat Lester. Wouldn't you all want to see that? I mean, that would be sort of fun to see, right? It would be for me anyway. So the next series that I'd like to preview, see, there are four, are the Orioles and the Rangers. Okay, so tonight's going for the two. Vance Worrell is going for the Orioles. He's 0-0 with a 3.86 ERA. He'll be going up against Martin Perez, 0-1 with a 3.65 ERA. I think it's going to be one of the better games of the weekend. And as baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson Day, the Orioles, they will turn to Vance Worley, while the Rangers will counter with Martin Perez tonight. And again, the Orioles and Rangers, they will join all uniform personnel across Major League Baseball in wearing the number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day, which is today. The Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation will present checks to the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce and Fort Worth Chamber of Commerce and the United Negro College Fund as part of pregame activities. Tamika Sellers, a Jackie Robinson Foundation scholarship alumnus who is now a mentor teacher at St. Philip School, will throw out the first pitch. When the game begins, the Orioles will turn to Vance Worley, while the Rangers will counter with Martin Perez. Worley will be seeking to build on a 4 2/3 inning no-decision outing against the Rays on Sunday. Worley struck out 5 and allowed 3 runs on 7 hits as he was limited to 79 pitches. He expects to be able to pitch longer now. Okay. So that's out with the Orioles and the Rangers. Other games to watch for this weekend: the Reds and the Cardinals, and the Giants and the Dodgers. The Giants and Dodgers will be playing on Sunday Night Baseball. I wish Bumgarner and Kershaw, I wish they were pushed to Sunday Night Baseball. That'd be kind of cool. Sorry. Let me think. What should we talk about? Let's talk about the Orioles and the Rangers. Vance Worley, the Vanimal, right? He was, I remember him as a Phillies. I remember him as a Pirate. I think he went to the Orioles last year, I want to say. Is that right? Yeah. He went to the Orioles last year and sort of turned his whole thing around. Okay, so that's going to do it for us today on Inside MLB. Thank you for joining us. Sorry I have to cut it short, but I have to get to the Pirate game tonight. We'll see you Monday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. for another exciting edition of Inside MLB. Make sure to head over to the website, MLBinside.com, for all your Inside MLB information. Head over to the store to purchase Inside MLB merchandise. And I'm the guy. I'm Benson Fechter. Have a wonderful Jackie Robinson Day. Make sure to watch baseball tonight, because what's better than baseball on a Friday night?